Chapter 6. The day of their victory dawned, and they marched from the prison into the amphitheater, joyfully, as if they were on their way to the heaven, with brilliant countenances. If they were trembling at all, it was with joy rather than timidity. Perpetua went along with a shining countenance and calm steps, as a delightful one of God, as a wife of the Anointed One, putting down everyone's stare by the high enthusiasm in her eyes. With them was also Felicitas, rejoicing that she had safely given birth, so that now she could fight the wild beasts, going from blood to blood, from a midwife to a gladiator, ready to wash after childbirth in a second immersion. And they were then led up to the gates, and they were forced to put on robes, the men, those of the priests of Saturn, the women, those of the priestesses of Ceres. But the noble Perpetua strenuously resisted this to the end. She said,
"We came to this of our own free will, that our freedom should not be violated. For this reason, we have yielded up our souls, that we would not have to do anything such as this. This was our agreement with you."
Even injustice recognized justice. The tribune agreed. They were to be brought into the arena exactly as they were, in their ordinary dress. Perpetua then began to sing a psalm. She was already treading underfoot the head of the Egyptian. Revocatos and Saturninos and Saturos began to warn the onlooking people. Then, when they came within the sight of Hilarianos, they began to say to him, through gestures and nods, "You have condemned us, but God will condemn you." At this, the people became exasperated and demanded that they be scourged before a line of gladiators. And for this, they rejoiced that they had won a share in the Lord's sufferings. But he who had said, "Ask, and you shall receive," gave to each one the death which he had asked for. For whenever they would discuss among themselves their desire for testifying, Saturninos indeed declared that he wanted to be exposed to all the different beasts. Doubtless, that his crown might be all the more glorious. And so, at the outset of the exhibition, he and Revocatos were matched with a leopard. And then, while on the platform, they were mauled by a bear. However, Saturos dreaded nothing more than a bear, and he counted on being dispatched with one bite of a leopard. So, when he was supplied to a wild boar, the hunter who had tied him to the beast was gored by that beast, dying a few days after the shows were over. Saturos himself was only dragged along. And when he was bound on the bridge to await the bear, the beast refused to come out of his cage, so that Saturos was recalled once more unhurt. For the young women, however, the slanderer had prepared a mad heifer. This was an unusual practice, but it was chosen so that their female gender might be matched with that of the beast. So stripped and naked, and covered with only nets, they were brought out into the arena. Even the people were horrified when they saw that one was a delicate young girl, and the other was a woman fresh from childbirth, with the milk still dripping from her breasts. So they were recalled again and dressed in unbelted tunics. Perpetua was tossed first, and she fell on her loins. And sitting up, she pulled down her tunic, which was ripped along the side, so that it now covered her thighs. For she was more mindful of modesty than of pain. Then, requesting a pin, she further fastened her tousled hair. For it was not proper for a testifier to suffer with disheveled hair, lest she might seem to be mourning in her hour of glory. In this way, she got up. And when she saw that Felicitas had been bruised, she approached and extended her hand and lifted her up. And the two stood side by side. And the brutality of the people was by now appeased. And so they were recalled through the gate of life. There, Perpetua was supported by a man named Rusticos, who was at that time a student and kept close to her. And being roused as if from a kind of sleep, so absorbed had she been in a spirit and an ecstasy, she began to look about her, and, to the amazement of everyone, she said,
"When are we going to be thrown to that heifer? I cannot tell."
And learning that this had already happened, she refused to believe it, until she noticed the ill marks of usage on her body and her dress. Next, she called for her brother and spoke to him together with the students, saying,
"Stand fast in the faith and love one another, and do not be weakened because of our sufferings."
At another gate, Saturos was earnestly addressing the soldier, Pudanes, saying,
"It is exactly as I foretold and predicted. So far, not one beast has touched me. And now, that you may believe me with all your heart, behold, I'm going in there, and I shall be consumed by one bite of a leopard."
And immediately, as the exhibition was coming to a close, a leopard was let loose, and with one bite, Saturos was drenched with such a quantity of blood that as he came away, the people roared in attestation of his second immersion.
"Saved and washed! Saved and washed!"
For truly saved was the one who had been bathed in this manner. At that time, he said to the soldier Pudanes,
"Farewell. Remember the faith. Remember me. And do not let these things disturb you, but rather strengthen you."
At the same time, he asked for the little ring from Pudane's finger, and dipping it into his own wound, he gave it back to him, bequeathing it for a pledge and memorial of his bloodshed. Next, he was thrown unconscious with the rest in the usual spot to have his throat cut. And the people asked for them to be brought out into the middle, that their eyes might be the guilty spectators when the sword pierced their bodies. And so, the holy testifiers rose, unbidden, and went to the spot where the people wanted them to. First, kissing one another, they consummated their testimony with the ritual kiss of peace. Indeed, the others, without moving, received the sword in silence, especially Satouros, who, having been the first to climb up the ladder, was the first to give up his spirit. For once again, he was waiting for Perpetua. However, Perpetua had yet to taste more pain. She screamed as she was pierced between the ribs. And taking the trembling right hand of the novice gladiator, she guided it to her throat. Possibly, such a great woman, feared as she was by the unclean spirit, could not have been otherwise dispatched unless she herself had willed it. Oh, most steadfast and blessed testifiers! Oh, truly called and chosen for the glory of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One! And any man who magnifies and honors and adores his glory should read these new examples for the edification of the assembly, which are no less precious than the tales of old. For these new manifestations of virtue will testify to one and the same Holy Spirit, which is always operating, even now, and to God, the Father Almighty, and to his Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, our Lord, to whom belongs splendor and immeasurable power, even to the ages of the ages. Amen.